Chapter 44, The Future Glory of Zion. Zion is the name often applied to Jerusalem because it was upon the mountain so named that the temple was built. As the Jews more and more thought of the glory of their city as centering in the temple, they loved to give the name Zion to their capital. In this great prophecy of redemption, the future glory of Zion is wonderfully told. The prophet looks forward with a great hope. He sees the people gathered from every land to which they have been carried. He sees Jerusalem newly peopled, the temple rebuilt, and a great peace and prosperity in the land. Some of the noblest passages of Hebrew prophecy are those in which the future glory is described. But the prophet realized very clearly how unworthy his people had been of the glory that was promised them. He felt that God had punished them with all justice, but he believed that the time of forgiveness had come. It is his own plea for his people when he cries, "But now, O Jehovah, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Be not wroth very sore, O Jehovah, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, look, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Thy holy cities are become a wilderness. Zion is become a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned with fire, and all our pleasant places are laid waste. Wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Jehovah? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore?" The sadness of the exile, the bitter sorrow of the man who saw the ancestral but departed glories of his people are in that cry. Yet in it was still a great hope. The prophet knew very well that the people were endeavoring to secure the favor of Jehovah by religious observances. During the exile, they had paid much attention to fasting, believing that in the affliction of soul they might express their need of God. But as a matter of fact, religious observances were not the greatest need of Israel. There had been plenty of religious observances in the old days. If the exile discipline were to result in a new nation, the old wickedness of oppression and selfishness must give place to justice and kindness. So the prophet declares that Jehovah desires a new kind of fast. "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy healing shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of Jehovah shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and Jehovah will answer. Thou shalt cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" If the people would heed this moral demand that was made upon them, there would be no doubt of the blessing that would come. The prophet believed that even the heathen nations would contribute to the glory of Israel. He looked forward to the future and saw Zion, the center of the world. "And foreigners shall build up thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Thy gates also shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night. Thy men may bring unto thee the wealth of the nations, and their kings led captive. For that nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine, and the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. And I will make thy place of my feet glorious. And the sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of Jehovah, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel." Of course, the serious question was still whether the people would respond to such an appeal. Would they understand how great were the possibilities before them? Would they care to be the nation that was to enlighten the world? Too often there had been only the feeling of vengeance toward their enemies. They had looked forward to the day when they would put their feet on the neck of the foe. But this prophecy has a nobler ring. Zion is to be the missionary to all the world. With great exultation, the people are summoned to realize their high calling. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Jehovah is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But Jehovah will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. It is heart-thrilling to realize the universalism of this prophet. He has no thought of the Jew being chosen as the favorite of heaven and all the other peoples excluded. The future glory of Zion to him is not restricted to his own people. He believes that a temple shall be built that shall be the house of prayer for all peoples. He looks forward to the triumphant day when every nation will serve Jehovah. To the Jews of the exile, foreigner was a hated word, but it was to become a word of kinship. Also the foreigners that joined themselves to Jehovah, to minister unto him, and to love the name of Jehovah, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from profaning it, and holdeth fast my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord Jehovah, who gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, Yet will I gather others to him, besides his own that are gathered. At last the hope of the prophet for a blessed future breaks all bounds of ordinary speech. He has such glorious faith in his God, that he believes nothing is impossible if man will truly serve him. He is not thinking of a future life, but of an earth all changed and glorified, when he describes the beauty and the peace of the New Jerusalem. To his people who have no homes and no land, for they are exiles, he promises that they shall build houses, plant vineyards, and see the fruit of their labor, and life shall extend for a century. He repeats the words that had been spoken in the days of Sennacherib's invasion, that the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and all tyranny and war shall cease. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And there shall be heard in her no more the voice of weeping and the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, and the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for calamity, for they are the seed of the blessed of Jehovah, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that, before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith Jehovah.